This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show today, we have a group that plays the music of Django Reinhardt. And they have at least a couple of performances in the next couple of weeks. They're going to be playing next Sunday, I believe, at the Iron Post in Urbana. But they're also going to be playing on the CU Folk and Roots Festival, Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. It's the second annual such festival. And so they are the first of the many groups and individuals that are performing at that festival who we're going to have on Live and Local over the next 10 days or so. And I'm looking forward to all of these. So Rob Crum, who is with the steering committee for the festival, has come in to give kind of a preview of an overview, I guess, of what's going on at the festival. So stick around. Here's some good music of Django Reinhardt played live in our studio. And hear about the CU Folk and Roots Festival on Live and Local. That was Tito Puente and his Latin Jazz All-Stars, a tune called Old Arrival. And I played them partly because I couldn't find the CD I intended to play by introduction, but also because we're going to be privileged to have Tito Puente here next week, a week from today, on Live and Local. He's going to be performing down at the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you will be as well. But I'm also looking forward to our conversation and our listening experience on today's Live and Local, because we have live in the studio with us three performers who each of them play in I don't know how many different groups and have been on this show I don't know how many different times with many of those groups. But for the purposes of today's show, they are here to play the music of Django Reinhardt. And they're playing this Sunday evening at the Iron Post. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
At what time? I missed that page of my
calendar. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, Iron Post, downtown Urbana. And it was, in fact, at the gig of another group this past Sunday at the Iron Post downtown Urbana that also enjoys playing some music of Django Reinhardt that we kind of worked out this gig. So I'm glad we were all there. It was the Hot Club of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Does anybody disagree that those guys are phenomenal?
Awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I had
a blast. I'm doing everything I can to promote them right now to anybody who wants to listen, but they seem to be doing pretty well, as Jordan pointed out to me yesterday. Well, Jordan is Jordan Kay, who is standing in for Django Reinhardt, so to speak, on the guitar.
Actually, I'm standing in for Joseph Reinhardt, his brother, that played the rhythm guitar. I'm not. I just want to play like Django Reinhardt. It doesn't mean that I've achieved that lofty ability. Yeah.
Well, you need to start with wanting it, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. You know, start with wanting it.
As some listeners will know, I'm a big I'm a tennis fan, and particularly of Rafael Nadal, and he's wanted to win the U.S. Open for years and years and years, and he hasn't managed it. Had not managed it until last night. So,
ooh.
See,
he probably read things that game happen. Or that book, The Inner Game of Tennis. Right?
I don't know. I don't know if they have it in Spanish. He might have. I don't know if he does. I've read that a couple of times, and I still don't get it. But and my tennis game proves it. Also with us is Ben Smith on the violin. Who are you standing in for?
Well, I guess the obvious analogy would be Stefan Grappelli, but yeah. I'm actually sitting.
All right. This is true. I mean, radio listeners don't know that for a fact, but I'm verifying that it is, in fact, true. And Josh Halchin on the bass. Yes. Are you a sit-in for anybody?
I'm just trying to play pretty music.
Right on.
All right. Django Reinhardt. Who knows what... well, his first name was Jean, I read on Wikipedia. Do you know what Django comes from?
It was a nickname.
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
Great guitar player.
Well, again, according to Wikipedia, which is the authority on all things, right? He was Gypsy or Romani. I forget how they say that, but it's apparently Django is a Romani word for I awake. Now, why did he get that nickname? I don't know. So we'll all have to research that a little bit more. In any event, before further words are spoken, why don't we hear some music? Is everything we hear today going to be music by Django Reinhardt?
I put a Hank Williams tune on the on my personal agenda just because I was feeling sad and I thought maybe it might cheer me up a little bit, but I don't know if we're going to get to that or not.
Well, maybe you'll get cheered up before then and you won't need to still be perked up. We'll find out. All right, what are we going to start with?
This is not a Django original, but one that he played and played very wonderfully. This is How High the Moon.
How High the Moon. How High the Moon, played here by Ben Smith on the fiddle. We have to call you a violinist for this one, don't we?
Yeah, I think violinist.
Yeah, violinist, okay. I'm used to calling him a fiddler for other groups like I can never remember.
Mean Lids.
That one I have right in front of me, but no, the Cajun group, sorry.
Oh, Big Grove's
Big Grove's Idaho, there we go. And Josh Houchin on the bass, and Jordan Kay on the guitar. Joseph Reinhardt, you mentioned, I guess he was Django's brother.
Yeah.
Right. And did they play in the group together?
They did. France. He usually had three guitars in his band. You know, we're pretty much stripped down. he said that when Grappelli was soloing, he had three guitars behind him. Yeah, so or two rhythm instruments behind him. So he wanted two rhythm instruments behind when Django was playing. He wanted two rhythm instruments
behind him.
And I do too, but we haven't found them yet.
Well, you have.
They weren't available today.
Not available today. But what does your group have? Kind of a different configuration depending upon the gig.
Yeah, we've given opportunities for. As a matter of fact, my original conception of this was to get every guitar player that ever had even a shred of interest in Django Reinhardt to come to this gig and sit in and play, and you know, just be able to play minor swing with a bunch of guys that you know that admired that kind of music. It never really was structured as a formal band. It was just a jam thing because all guitarists eventually kind of get hip to Django Reinhardt. You know, they hear about him and then they just say, well, you know, they focus on, oh, the fact that he had an injured hand. He only played with two fingers and, you know, and then they listen to the music and they get drawn in, and then they listen to all the other guitar players that were admirers of Django, like B.B. King and Les Paul and Jimi Hendrix and all those more famous guys. And they just get drawn into it. And so I've tried to draw in other guitar players. And we've had the phenomenal George Turner playing with us, the incredible Mike Miller, traditional jazz orchestra guy, and then Django also played with horns. He played with clarinets and trumpets and stuff. So we've tried that. And we're now, after seeing the Hot Club of Detroit, we're now auditioning accordion players.
Yeah, that's nice. That was a nice sound there.
Yeah, it's terrific. And, you know, in this town, you can imagine it's a huge job.
To audition accordion players?
Yeah, it is.
Because there's a lot of them?
There's so many of them around that, you know, it's almost a full-time job.
Is that a joke?
Well, I only amuse myself a little bit, but...
Because I was going to say, I can't think of too many that would be of the...
Well, I'll tell you what, we got an accordion player sitting right here with us, one of the hard-working folk and roots guys, Mr. Rob Crum himself. He plays a little bit of accordion and different kind of accordion, but it's an accordion.
Not
but
Django style.
It sounds like an accordion. It sounds like one. So,
well, thank you for that introduction. It was a nice, smooth transition to the reason that Rob Crum is in fact here.
Yeah.
Actually, Rob, at the farmer's market some weeks ago, I think you kind of show me the accordion?
You know, yeah, I have a Cajun accordion.
Yeah.
Which is a single row. It's something I've been trying to really play for the last 4 years, and it was only earlier this year in about February that I finally something clicked, and then I got the nerve to start playing in front of other people. But I was definitely a closet accordion player for 3+ years. And see, so yeah, I'm trying to play Cajun accordion and play the Cajun and Zydeco, you know, Creole, Louisiana accordion styles.
So if Tom Torino ever needs a sub in Big Grove, Zydeco.
I don't know about that.
Maybe someday.
You guys played together before, didn't you?
Sure, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Torino has been on this show a number of times also for that group and with his son Matt, just as their duo. And we're listening here to some music of Django Reinhardt and music that he played by other people here on Live and Local. And Rob's going to tell us in just a moment a little bit about the CU Folk and Roots Festival. But I need to say first that programs on FM 90.9 are made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, presenting Brief Encounters at 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, September 18th, in the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Ian Hobson conducts and plays Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. More information is available at 333-6280. So the CU Folk and Roots Festival, we had a bunch of performers from that on last year. It was your first time for the festival, and it's going to happen again on the 23rd through the 25th, so that's just 2 weekends from now. So I gather that means that you felt, Rob, that as a member of the steering committee, that it was enough of a success the first time that you're going to give it another go.
Well, we started with a plan to make it an annual event. So we really do want to have this festival, the Folk and Roots Festival. Last weekend of September, we're trying to just stick on that date as best we can. And yes, I think last year was the first year. There were, you know, warts and all. It was a pretty cool festival at the end of the day, at the end of 2 days of really a lot of busy music schedule and different hands-on activities. But yeah, we certainly wanted to push on. And we got a lot of good feedback last year as far as people in the community and a lot of good community support. People came out and, you know, by the hundreds and bought wristbands for the festival and went to lots of events. So we want to do it again this year.
Why don't you give an overview of how it's going to happen? It looks like you've added a day this time.
We've added a day. We're going to start on a Thursday, which is the 23rd, and that same weekend is going to be Festival Rich in Champaign-Urbana because the Pygmalion Festival is also in town. So we're doing a kickoff concert at the Independent Media Center, which is the old post office in downtown Urbana. That's three bands, the Mean Lids, which Ben's a member of the Mean Lids, of the Duke of Uke and his Novelty Orchestra, two good local bands, and then there's a band coming up from Tennessee called Those Darlings, kind of a rock, country rock band. So that'll be one thing, one event on Thursday, and then we're also having a singer-songwriter whose name is David Llewellyn. He's from Wales originally, but he has good credentials. He's going to be playing at the Heartland Gallery at 6 o'clock, which is on Main Street in downtown Urbana. David Llewellyn won the John Lennon Songwriting Contest, and he's won some awards at the Kerrville Folk Festival, which is in Texas, which is a big festival. So those are two things going on Thursday.
Thursday the 23rd.
Right, the 23rd. And then we're continuing on Friday the 24th with that'll be a heavy music night. There's going to be music at six or seven venues, Heartland Gallery again, the Independent Media Center, the Iron Post, the Phillips Center, the Phillips Recreation Center in downtown Urbana, the Rose Bowl, Silver Creek, and V Picasso. So this year we've added V Picasso and Silver Creek as venues, and then also we're going to have events Saturday night at 88 Broadway in Lincoln Square, and that's where this band, the Music of Django Reinhardt, will be appearing Saturday night, the 25th, as one of three bands over there at 88 Broadway.
Are you still having some outdoor stages?
We're having a couple outdoor stages, and the main festival stage will be set up at the intersection of Elm and Ray Street, which is right there by the Urbana Free Library. There will be music there on Saturday from 3 in the afternoon until 10 at night. There's also going to be a community stage. It's going to be over pretty much like between Lincoln Square and the Independent Media Center, the old post office, and that's going to be there's going to be open stage there, and we're also going to have what we call up-and-coming performers. There's going to be younger bands from the community are going to be playing there on Saturday. That's all during the day.
And here's hoping that the weather cooperates a little better than last year. It wasn't too bad, but there were a couple of rainouts.
Well, there were no really rainouts. We had about, you know, 50 drops of rain during one of the bands, but nothing got rained out. But we do have plans, if it does rain or we have bad weather on Saturday, we do have plans to take everything indoors.
So that shouldn't scare anybody off. No. I think that's what happened last year. The rain was a lot more threatening than it ended up, than actually fell.
Well, if people were watching the weather radar, it looked bad. But in fact, in downtown Urbana, there was this kind of halo around downtown. And like I said, during one of the bands, it rained for a minute or two, and that's it.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, I hope you do as well as last year, because it would be pretty lucky if that's all that happens. Well, we'll come back to Rob in a little bit. I want to talk about the whole notion of roots music, but I also want to talk a little bit more about Django Reinhardt. Any of you guys can talk about this, Ben or Jordan or Josh. What is so appealing about Django Reinhardt's music? I mean, Jordan, you were talking about how, you know, people might be attracted to sort of the idea of how he played, given in his infirmity he had. But then when they actually hear the music, sort of hard to stay away from. What do you think is the appeal?
Well, it's very exciting. It doesn't matter if it's a ballad or a real up-tempo, brisk piece. It's all just loaded with emotion and exceptional musicianship on top of that. So it's my opinion anyway, and I think that most listeners would agree.
Particularly maybe Josh and Ben, do you have to change your approach to playing or adopt any particular techniques to play this music that you maybe don't need in other people's music?
Well, on the fiddle here, it is different. It's different techniques compared to classical playing or compared to other fiddle styles. But I'd say this sort of fits into all, if there are many jazz fiddle styles, they're all very similar kind of things.
Yeah. But and how do you personally, Ben, manage in your brain to move from one type of playing to another? Because I know you do so many different, to my ear anyway, certainly classical playing and then Cajun fiddling and then old-time fiddling and then this kind of jazz playing they're all really very different.
Yeah.
Musically.
Right.
Whether technically or not.
Well, I think that the fact that they're different is how I'm able to split them apart in my mind. But also, it's all boiling somewhere inside of me. And so all the soups start to taste the same after a while. So when I'm playing old time, the Django licks come in every once in a while, and I get frowns from the old time people. And I don't know, in my Django playing, the Stefan imitation, I'm not really imitating him. There are too many other influences now in my playing that come through. At least I hear them.
I imagine the one area where it would be easy to keep some of the other influences out would be the classical, because you actually have to read notes.
Oh, yeah. I'm not allowed to put anything else in there.
Yeah, your conductor would frown, I'm sure, if we suddenly heard you take off in any direction.
Yep.
Other than what was written down. Just a guess. Well, let's hear a little more music. Are we going to hear a Django tune, or are we going to hear another tune that Django played?
This is another one that that he played often and very quickly. Sweet Georgia Brown. We're not going to go quite as quick as they did.
Come
take it away.
Yeah, come soon. Come
all soon. Right. One.
Ben Smith, Jordan Kay, and Josh Houchin, the music of Django Reinhardt here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for our show comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting Public Radio. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And a couple of things about Django Reinhardt. You mentioned, Jordan, that he managed to play with two fingers because of an injury. How was that even possible? And we're talking about two fingers of the left hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it on the right hand because people do it all the time. But
yeah, that's what when guitarists hear that, you know, it just baffles and boggles the imagination. But some people have said that it was that handicap that made him so original, because he couldn't play in with normal technique. He had to just kind of invent some of his own techniques to play. And he just his hand was injured in a fire, and so we really only had partial use of his third and fourth finger. He played mainly with his index and middle finger, and people do focus on that, but the fact of the matter is that he had an incredible pick. He had an incredible right hand too. He could drive like a freight train with his pick. Yeah, he could sweep pick, and he just developed fantastic techniques, which I'm still I'm still studying to figure out exactly how he did it. But
guitarists today, in groups such as yours, or in various hot clubs around the country, since his was the quintet of the Hot Club of France that he formed with Stefan Grappelli, y'all don't try to imitate a left-handed two-finger style, right?
Well, just in
or do some do that?
I actually some do, and actually it's just helpful to experiment with and just say, well, how in the world did he play those notes? Because we've all listened to the recording so many times, and you just kind of wonder. And actually, there's videos of him playing on YouTube as well, where you could actually see it. And he was just agile, creative, driven, and French.
Now, how did the French get in there?
Gypsy, you know. Yeah.
The French Clintman?
I don't know.
Well, wasn't he Belgian?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to get in even bigger trouble there.
Too
far down this road.
I'm already pretty far in the doghouse.
We won't pursue that one either. What about electric versus acoustic guitar? Was it mainly acoustic playing that he did?
Well, he started out that way. And he did play electric guitars, and some people say that he never made the transition to electric guitar because he had such a physical technique. He played really hard, and so it didn't adapt well to electric instruments. But it was fine with me. I never had any problem with his electric playing. I think it just sounds great to me. I personally like acoustic, just because you can just take it to the streets and take it to the studio and take it around the campfire, and you know, it's just a little bit more direct.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen an electric guitar in your hand.
Oh, well, there's been one in there.
Now I'm
in. You know what, though? I've finally realized it's taken me years to figure this out, but I'm terrible at rock. I don't rock.
Well, not everybody adapts to different styles in quite the same way. The music of Django Reinhardt, your group is going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night at 7, but you're also going to be at the CU Folk and Roots Festival, as Rob Crum mentioned earlier. Rob, and any of you guys jump in this topic, but what makes roots music? I mean, folk and roots. Roots, it seems to me, to be a term that I've only started hearing. I'm way behind the times, I'm sure, you know, in the last 5 years or so. And it seems like everybody's playing roots music.
Well, I think, You know, I think that term roots music grew out of, you know, somewhat of frustration by saying, having people play music at different folk music styles, let's say, and people would ask you what kind of music you play. Let's say you're trying to market your band, and you say you play folk music, and right away light bulbs go off in some people's mind, and they see, you know, one solo performer playing guitar, you know, it's like a singer-songwriter, and they consider that folk music, or they think of Pete Seeger as folk music, which, you know, really folk music encompasses such a broad number of musical styles, country music, old time, bluegrass, blues, jazz. It's all part of the fabric of American folk music. And so really where the first use of the term roots music came from, I don't know. I think a lot of people, you know, they kind of use that as maybe a way to just broaden out the folk music definition.
Well, and I'm looking at an ad for the CU Folk and Roots Festival, and you mentioned several genres that are going to be there. In addition, klezmer, Irish music, Western swing, and then these are all in musics that are going to be performed. But then you have a bunch of workshops scheduled on different instruments, and what else?
Well, I think that really kind of maybe getting away from talking about like what is folk and roots, but I think our festival is part of maybe the folk music tradition of participation, and we really want people to come and, you know, take a dance workshop, learn how to Cajun dance, maybe come to the contra dance, learn how to contra dance. And we also want people to come and try, if they want to try to play instruments. We have a number of instrument workshops. You know, I'd say for players, we have workshops. And even for people who don't play, we have a event that are part of the day activity on Saturday called the Try It Tent, where you can come. And let's say you've always wanted to try to learn how to play mandolin. So there'll be somebody there with a couple mandolins, and you could sit down one-on-one and you know, try to play mandolin. And so same thing with, we have harmonica workshop. There will be guitar players there, banjo players, dobro, fiddle.
How about an accordion workshop?
Well, I'm not sure we've got that one worked up yet. But
well, because you know, I said I picked up that accordion at the farmer's market, and I don't know that I'd ever had picked one up before, much less actually tried to make it do something. Mm-hmm. And I was immediately struck by how awkward it felt to try to work the bellows and play notes.
Right.
Because all of a sudden I thought, well, you actually have to balance this thing. So within about 5 seconds, I had an appreciation for accordion players that I had never had before.
Well, and there's so many different styles of accordion accordion as well. So it would kind of, you'd have to almost have like a, let's say, a Cajun accordion workshop or a jazz style workshop or something like that. Just because there are different styles of accordions. Like that little Cajun accordion I have, there's different notes on the pull and the push, and then some accordions are the same notes each way.
Well, so. I remember on this show, Julian Labro, who was the accordionist with the Hot Club of Detroit, was here playing bandoneon. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about that's maybe the most difficult of the various accordions, although you would call that a concertina, I guess, and talking about when you pull the bellows, it makes one note. When you push, it makes the other. And I guess in the hit, well, it was too complicated even to understand at the time. And he said, if you ask me to play a scale, I'm not sure I could do it on this instrument because I'd probably get the notes mixed up. But yet, he obviously can play some pretty virtuosic music. And then he played a button. What kind of accordion was that he was playing with the Hot Club? What do you call that? Do you guys know?
It's just a five-row button accordion.
Five-row button accordion. Yeah. There are a lot of buttons on there, and he sure made him go fast. Well, we're going to hear some more music in a moment. Let me run down first a few other listening events you can participate in the next few days. The Corn Desert Ramblers are going to be playing, it's a bluegrass group, right? Mm-hmm. Playing at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tonight at 9. Lisa Cerezo and Steve Meadows doing guitar and singing in opposite order, actually. Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign, that's tonight at 9 also. And there's a Doctor of Musical Arts recital, which I mention because the pianist was on the show some weeks ago when he gave an advance for a previous recital. Ian Gindes is playing at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. The Woody Woodward Organ Trio is at the Iron Post downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5. Mean Lids are at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And you just handed me a new CD. Will it be there?
Yes, our new CD will be there.
For sale.
Yep, one of the first opportunities in town to get your hands on it.
How about that? Mean Lids are Ben Smith, Matt Torino, and Miriam Larson on the flute. And the weekly live Irish music session, traditional Irish music session, is at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And looking for some things that aren't in downtown Champaign or downtown Urbana, the Chicken Shack. I'm not sure what kind of music that is. At Baxter's American Grill, Thursday evening in Bloomington Normal. That's at 6 o'clock. And we'll tell you about more things as the show progresses. Tomorrow, we're going to be having a conversation on Live and Local with Dee Dee Bridgewater, wonderful singer who's going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana on Saturday night in a program called To Billy with Love, a celebration of Lady Day. And I'm looking forward to that conversation as well. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is supported in part by the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th in and around downtown Urbana. The festival features over 70 artists performing blues, jazz, old-time, Cajun, bluegrass, and Irish music with storytelling and more. Schedules and information are available at cufolkandroots.org. Django Reinhardt performers, what do we have next?
We've got a Django original. You kept saying, hey, are you going to play a Django song?
And you're going to do it.
We just played standards. You keep saying roots, and we're running out of time, so I don't know if I'm going to get this in, but you know what? There used to be an excellent show called American Roots on WILL, as also one of my personal favorite shows, Blues Before Sunrise. I didn't think I was going to like that from the name of it, and I ended up absolutely loving it. And also Radio Deluxe and The Thistle and Shamrock, all of which could be kind of considered pretty rootsy. And I'll just speak for myself. I really miss that kind of programming on your fine station and just sorely lament the decision that ever, you know, that caused it to change. You know, it's not that I don't like Beethoven. You know, he's my man. And, I'll have a symphony a day and a symphony for breakfast anytime. But, I just really miss those. I miss those shows when I'm driving home late at night on Saturday night. You know, I like to hear a little blues at 1 o'clock in the morning. And those guys all did play Django Reinhardt, and Django Reinhardt influenced music from time to time.
Well, I agree with you, Jordan. I miss.
I knew
shows.
You would.
That's
I
the
knew
that's
would.
That's the thing I most miss personally about some of the changes that we had to make at the station. And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
Well,
maybe they'll be back someday. Depends on a lot of factors.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
we hope so.
Some music of Django Reinhardt.
All right. This is a song called Deux Ambiances. Thank you.
Music of Django Reinhardt. What did you say it was called, Jordan?
Deux Ambiances.
What does that mean?
Good vibes, I think.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's my translation. Not exactly a French scholar, but there you go.
That sounds as good as anything else like to it. Me, for what little I know about it.
Yeah.
And Jordan Kay on the guitar with Ben Smith on fiddle and Josh Houchin on the bass.
If you like what you're hearing, it's Jordan Kay on guitar. If you don't like it, it's Sean Purcell.
I wonder if Sean is listening to this program.
I
right
hope
now.
He is. You know what? I tried to get him. I really tried to get him on this band several times. He's always out of town because he's so great and
he's
in demand.
Doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Purcell's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
And his wife, Darden, must be, she was just playing last Friday, I think. It was maybe at the Iron Post. And she's always around, and he's often playing with her, as you might expect. Yeah, he's a fine guitarist, that's for sure. And a little bit more about CU Folk and Roots. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program, which is plenty of time to get in a couple more tunes. But I wanted to talk a little bit with Rob Crum here about how you're pricing the whole thing and how one gets to hear all the events.
All right. So while we are selling these festival wristbands for $15, that will get you into all the events Thursday night through Friday and Saturday. And you can get those online at cufolkandroots.org. You can buy them online. Or we're also having a booth at the Farmers Market this coming Saturday as well as next Saturday, and we'll be selling wristbands out there.
That is an incredible bargain for all the things you can participate in. I think you have some, for lack of a better term, some headlining bands that are coming in. Do you want to talk about any of them at all?
Well, I'd say, you know, the one headline band we're having really that's kind of coming the farthest and is the Hot Club of Cowtown, which they're from Austin, Texas, and they're a really great trio, guitar, upright bass, and fiddle.
And do they play Django Reinhardt's music?
They will play some Django Reinhardt music. They play a blend of Western swing and Django Reinhardt-style jazz, and I'd say some of the hot jazz, early New Orleans jazz, very early New Orleans jazz from the 20s, and they take a lot of leeway and maybe play some bluegrass tunes or some kind of pop and jazz standards, but yeah, they're very good.
So it's the same instrumentation as the group we got right here.
That's right.
How about that? But I like that Hot Club of Cowtown. Why don't you guys call yourselves the Hot Club of CU? You know.
Yeah.
Everybody else is a hot club.
There was a Hot Club of Urbana for a while. I have an old poster here from a group that I had, and it was dated 1998. I'm glad I put the date on it so I could remember. But there was the Illinois state champion fiddle player, a guy by the name of Colin McCoy, actually went to grad school here. And he was a big fan of Grappelli and Django, and we had a Django band that also included a former CU resident Brian Wilkie, guitar great that lives in Chicago now, and John Tubbs, one of Josh's friends on the bass. So we had a Django band. I didn't want to call it the Hot Club of anything because I wanted people to be able to find the music. And I wanted the name to say exactly what it was. Mm. It is simplistic, but you know sometimes you just open the newspaper and you're looking through the band listings and you see Tree Thump, and you just wonder, well, what in the world are they going to be playing on there?
Exactly.
You know, and then you see Ben's wondering that, and then you see Bruiser and the Virtues, and it's like, well, are they going to be a gospel band or what? So I just thought, well, if we're billing ourselves as the music of Django Reinhardt, you know, that people could look at that and they would know what they were getting, and It's not set in stone, but I would say 99.9% of the music we play was played by Django because he had a huge, huge song list. He played standards by Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and just the great jazz standards that are still being played today, plus the originals. So we're not really hurting for material. I don't think any of us find that a constraint. But I did fall off the wagon one time and play Satin Doll just because it was a really lovely lady that requested it.
You couldn't help yourself.
I just couldn't. I couldn't say no. But most of the time we just play the music of Django Reinhardt, and that's our little niche.
So you seem to have perked up a little bit, Jordan, since the beginning of the show. Are we still going to hear that Hank Williams, or we're going
to
hear
Django? I would love So how much time we have? We have two tunes.
Got about. It depends how long they are. We'll let you take us out with the second one. How's that?
Here you go. We're going to play a Hank Williams song, and then a Django rhythm.
So did Django Reinhardt play this Hank Williams tune?
Nobody did play Stephen Foster.
Close enough.
He got around, you know. Hear the lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding. I'm so lonesome, I could cry. I've never seen a night so long when time grows crawling by. Oh, the moon just went behind a cloud to hide its face and cry. When leaves begin to die, that means he's lost the will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I don't think I'm going to be mistaken for Nathan Gunn anytime soon, but if he ever wants to collaborate, give him my number.
I just saw him yesterday. I'll ask him next time.
Yeah, all right, good deal. Here's close it out with a Django original, Manoir, Django's Castle. Thank you.
Ben Smith, Jordan Kay, and Josh Halchin playing the music of Django Reinhardt here on Live and Local. They're going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and they'll be at the second annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on Saturday the 24th. 25th. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's right, the full festival, the 23rd through the 25th in and around downtown Urbana. Check them out at cufolkandroots.org. And thanks to Rob Crum for giving us an overview of the festival. Support for today's programs comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville.